Well, hello all, and welcome to the teleclass, Improving Hand Hygiene in Healthcare Settings Around the World, a Global Challenge with a Global Solution. This teleclass was originally to be presented by Claire Kilpatrick, and it was to be hosted by Professor Didier Pitet, but it would appear that some sort of probably a respiratory virus has struck at the WHO in Geneva, and they're not going to be able to be with us today. My name is Paul Weber. I'll be hosting the teleclass, and I'm delighted to be able to introduce the presenter, Dr. Cyrus Engineer. Dr. Engineer was one of the founders of the Clean Hands, Save Lives program when he was in Geneva. He is still working with the World Health Organization, although he's now also at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore at the Bloomberg School of Public Health and doing some really impressive work there. I'd like to thank him very much for being willing and able to stand in for Claire almost at the last minute. Thanks as well to Deb Limited for their support of the teleclass education program and particularly for this teleclass today. So to present our teleclass, Improving Hand Hygiene in Healthcare Settings Around the World, I am delighted to present Dr. Cyrus Engineer.
Hello, everybody. Good afternoon, or good morning, or good evening. It's a pleasure to stand in for Claire and for the program. Just so you know, I'm very passionate, and as Paul mentioned, Paul, thank you so much for the very kind and generous introduction. I was involved to sort of kickstart the campaign last year, and this is its first anniversary, and since then my role has changed a bit, and I do take care of hand hygiene, but on a smaller scale compared to Claire, who's now the program manager. But I'm going to try to do as good a job as Claire might have done, but I don't promise, so pardon me. And I was hoping that Professor Pitet might join in, but we don't know. He might just join us at the last moment. So with that, I think I should just get started. So the first slide is just talks about the preview, or it's not the first slide, the presentation overview, the way we're going to talk. Have this class today. The first is the challenge that lies ahead of us that we're going to talk about a little bit. Then we're going to talk about the evidence and the solution, the evidence to address that challenge and the solution that we have focused on at the WHO. Thereafter, we're going to focus on the action as to what lies ahead and what work needs to be done. And then a little bit about the Save Lives, Clean Your Hands Global Annual Initiative, where we'll talk about what we want in terms of support and endorsement from you all there. So that's the presentation overview, the challenge, a little bit about the evidence solution, what we will want you to do, what we're doing, and then the Save Lives Initiative. With that, can we move on to the next slide, please? This is just to give you a sense of the burden of healthcare-associated infections. We're talking of hospital-acquired infections here. More specifically, you can see that in developed countries, the range is anywhere between 5 to 15% of hospitalized patients. Of hospitalized patient is important in terms of emphasis here, because you know how many patients are admitted to your own hospitals, and if you put the sum of all those together in your region, in your country, and at a global level, we're talking of big numbers here. And this is just for the developed countries, but when you move the focus to the developing countries, there's evidence that says it might be several times higher by factors of as much as 4 to 8. And having said that, let's move on to the next slide. We've sort of made it, you should see a carton here with folks wearing masks and gowns and huge magnifying lens trying to detect the bugs. And as challenging it is to identify the rates of infections in hospitals, it is even harder when you try to summarize the burden, which is what WHO typically does, across the world about the burden of healthcare-associated infections. In fact, it is extremely hard for a variety of reasons. One, not necessarily does everyone report healthcare infection rates or hospital-acquired infection rates in their countries. Not every country has a surveillance system, and more so, there's what you call, there are concerns, political and otherwise, in terms of making this data available to a lot of other countries. And so this is extremely hard to get what you call reliable data, and we at WHO have sort of made it our focus to try to get this, get a handle on the burden. Because only if, you know, as the old adage in quality improvement says, what you know or what you measure, you can improve, but what you cannot measure, you cannot improve. And so the logical starting point here would be to be able to assess the magnitude of harm in order to be able to then talk about several interventions and then come back to, you know, what's happened to the burden in terms of have we done a good job, have we improved, and so on. So this is the first logical step. And though we have solutions ahead of us, unfortunately, the aspect of burden has not really been an easy task. Next slide. You should see a map here, and this is just to give you a snapshot of prevalence of healthcare-associated infections in developed countries, and this is literature that says that the rates could vary anywhere from 4.6% to about 10.5%, and this is prevalence, mind you, not incidence, except for the United States, which is reported as incidence. So we are not off target when we say it's anywhere between 5 to 15% there, because a lot of these countries have reported through small studies, snapshots in time as prevalent studies, that indeed this is a huge problem. And the average in Europe, according to the ECDC report in 2008, is about 7.1%. So just so you know and you appreciate that the magnitude of the problem is immense, actually. And next slide shows you that just like we had hypothesized, you know, some studies have shown that these rates are even higher when you look at the developing and the transitional countries. For instance, in Tunisia and Albania, the rates are reported as high as 19%. And that just shows you the magnitude of the problem here for healthcare-associated infections. So, yes, there's a huge burden. And the next slide actually says what our vision is at WHO, the vision of the first global patient safety challenge. We treat this as a challenge. It is to promote hand hygiene and infection control best practice that, you know, supports the reduction of healthcare-associated infection worldwide. There's a lot of evidence out there, more than 22 peer-reviewed studies that have demonstrated that hand hygiene works. And this all builds upon the work of Semmelweis, who was an Austrian physician who determined that hand hygiene could, what you call, reduce maternal deaths in a hospital in what you call Vienna. So there's a lot of evidence that demonstrates that hand hygiene, promoting hand hygiene, actually has an association with reduced infections, and so that's our vision here. Next slide. You should see five components that we've put together as a strategy to address hand hygiene. Hand hygiene seems to be seemingly very simple. However, it is still complex in certain ways because the reported compliance in several studies across several contexts and institutions and what you call ICUs and emergency units has suggested the self-reported compliance is less than 40%, and that's sort of abysmal considering that you would want to be at 100%. So we recognize that very soon in the process that hand hygiene there's no single strategy, single step to what you call a magic bullet to address the hand hygiene problem. And so we, after doing tremendous research on what are the barriers to implementing hand hygiene, we sort of have a five-step component process. The first is system change, that you need to change the system. There needs to be training and education. You have to have evaluation and feedback, reminders in the workplace, and then there needs to be a climate that fosters and supports the implementation of hand hygiene or any QI intervention within an institution. So essentially, we came up with these five components on the basis of a lot of research that has been published on the barriers for hand hygiene. So we'll talk a little bit more about and give you examples in the next slide of how, you know, you have several tools associated with each of the components of the strategy, the multimodal strategy. So the system change tool, we believe that there, for just to give you an example, you need to have alcohol-based hand rub, what you call a planning and costing tool, to be able to determine how much alcohol you need and how much it's going to cost you, and that it needs to be there across the hospital or institution at the point of care. It necessarily needs to be there in containers, easily accessible, and so you need to be able to plan and cost it and make sure that you have it at every place there where patient care is delivered. Then in terms of the training educational tool, there were a lot of barriers that says, really, we don't know why we need to perform hand hygiene, how do we do hand hygiene, and whether to use water or use alcohol, under which indications to wear gloves, and when brochures. So there's a brochure that's been created by WHO, and this is just one example, but there are several training and education tools, including PowerPoint slides, on the evidence, and so on and so forth. So basically, this is an example of a tool that's been developed for training and education, but there are many other tools as well. The evaluation and feedback tool is what, and the observation forms are basically you're going to use feedback and evaluate how much hand hygiene occurs by the bedside. So there's a tool that you can use to measure the compliance to hand hygiene across the hospital by observing and identifying moments and opportunities for hand hygiene, and then reporting successes or failures. So there's training, there's material, and there's an observation form that's been designed, tested, and validated. Then reminders in the workplace. So we have the five moments for hand hygiene poster. This is, again, a communication, an easy communication tool that actually tells you by putting the poster on walls that continuously tell you that these are the times when you need to be performing hand hygiene. And again, this is evidence-based through literature, facilitated by WHO. And the last is the institutional safety climate tool. It is to help you sustain and improve activities at healthcare facilities. So you need to have a safety climate in order to be able to implement any quality/patient safety strategy. And so you need to have the right kind of culture, and there's a tool that's been developed that you can use to assess the safety climate. So this is just to give you a flavor of some of the components of the toolkit within the five multimodal steps that we mentioned. In addition to that, there's a big guide to implementation of how would you implement the multimodal strategy. Where would you start? What does the hospital need to do? What does the administrator need to do? How do we go about procuring the gel or the alcohol or installing sinks? What about the training aspects? So there's a whole guide, step by step, that walks you through the entire strategy and how it can be implemented. This is all available on the website for free for you to access and download. And then there's the self-assessment framework that's going to come out very shortly, and this is a new exciting tool because, like we said, you cannot improve what you cannot measure. And you need to know where you are, where you, i.e. your hospital, is on a continuum of hand hygiene. Are you a beginner? Are you at a midpoint? Are you at a stage where you've got good compliance and need to protect the gains and sustain the gains so that you don't fall back for lower compliance? And so there's a tool that is going to be coming out on 5th May that will essentially enable any facility anywhere in the world to determine where they are. It's a self-assessment framework by answering a couple of questions. Next slide. This is just to give this. You should see the 5 moments for hand hygiene here. It's basically an evidence-based, what you call, approach to when you should be performing hand hygiene. And I know that there are variations of these based on different evidence, but this is what WHO sort of recommends, that there are essentially 5 moments for hand hygiene. And using this graphical representation, there are posters, it's easy to understand, it's easy to follow, and this is available as well. Next slide. So talking of the multimodal strategy, that strategy started off about 2005, 2006 when the program was initiated. And since then, we wanted to make sure that what we were saying worked, and it not only worked in one environment, but it worked in multiple environments in different contexts. And so the strategy was rolled out in terms of pilot testing, and several pilot sites enrolled. And what you're seeing now is a graph of the baseline hand hygiene compliance, and then hand hygiene compliance at follow-up at these different pilot sites. And almost in every site, there was an increase in the compliance rates following implementation of the WHO multimodal strategy. So this just gave us a message that it works, and it not only works in one environment, but it can work in multiple environments, including some which are resource-challenged settings, such as Mali and maybe Bangladesh too. So the next slide. So this is what we actually came to, that the action that is, it's not a problem, it's a puzzle that we need to solve, and there's a semantic, we could all say a problem and a puzzle is the same, but there are definitions that we've sort of taken literally, which is a problem is where you might not have a solution and you might need to take several routes before it's solved. But a puzzle is where we know the solution, i.e. hand hygiene, but we don't know how to approach it, and we need to do multiple things, iterate between things, and kind of come to an understanding of what really works to put the pieces together. And so we believe that hand hygiene, the aspects of hand hygiene is more a puzzle rather than a problem. So I'm sure a lot of you would agree with that. The next slide actually talks about our success in terms of promoting the message of hand hygiene to tackle healthcare-associated infections across the globe. And what you see is a map of red or orange, as you might be seeing, and some portions of gray or blue, as you might want to, depending on the screen resolution. So this is basically a top-down approach where the WHO went to several member countries asking the ministers of health to pledge that they would do something about the aspect of healthcare-associated infections within their countries, report data, promote hand hygiene to the promote hand hygiene within their countries, conduct campaigns, and so on and so forth. So this was a pledge that any minister could make in their own country, and all the areas represented in orange / red are the countries that actually signed on to this pledge and said, yes, we support and we endorse it, and we are committed to reducing healthcare-associated infection. So in the history of WHO, there has been no program that has received such widespread acceptance unilaterally, in a very short period of time. And we believe in part that is to do with the message. It was very simple, and we were very, very delighted. And a lot of the divisions in WHO are using this as a case study to be able to determine. Now, having said that, we were very successful in getting pledges and commitment from ministries of health and governments of different countries. More than 120 countries pledged. But when it came to, next slide, when it came to what really happened at the point of care being the bedside, being the clinic where the doctor is treating the outpatient, or we weren't necessarily very convinced that we had penetrated. And so, you know, as of now, we have about 7,000, over 7,200 healthcare facilities from more than 130 countries that have signed up. So we went one layer below the countries and said, okay, so this is at the country's level, but can we know what's happening at healthcare facility level? Are people interested? Have people got the message? Are they doing something? So this is a map that shows you all the red dots are actually healthcare facilities that have signed up in those regions and those countries. So clearly, you can see Canada, that's well populated and a lot of red dots there, but I'm sure there's a lot of places that, you know, up north that potential exists for other healthcare facilities to sign up. And part of our talk today is to encourage those facilities to sign up to this campaign and endorse it. Next slide. So after doing, you know, the pledging exercise, we wanted to know what sort, and after getting this information we on the healthcare facilities, we really wanted to know what countries were doing within their own countries to do, you know, were they running campaigns, were they, did they have programs, how were these programs coordinated? And so we did a survey in 2009 to gather information on the status of campaigns on hand hygiene worldwide. So obviously we sent it to all the countries that we had known. So the next slide is a summary of the survey. About 38 campaigns or programs were identified, and 29 of these were currently active, which was heartening because they had these programs in their countries in 29 such countries. The summary is basically most of them had clear objectives and measurable indicators on compliance, rates of infection, hand hygiene promotion, and a lot of these were bundled into the larger healthcare-associated prevention programs and not independent. They didn't stand out. Hand hygiene campaigns didn't stand alone by themselves, and that made sense because they were bundled into, let's say, bloodstream infection or urinary tract infection programs or some other programs that were more broader in targeting healthcare-associated infections. Then there were differences in coverage, the extent of the coverage. Some were too focused in a couple of states, but some were across the nation. Some had depth, but some had more breadth. And these were in some ways linked to the mechanisms of coordination and of funding. Some were centrally funded, like the UK campaign, but some were regionally funded. Some were not funded. Some were funded by Infection Control Society, what you call in part. And there were, you know, there were many models that came through this survey. Mainly the barriers related to commitment came up were priority and support, that hand hygiene as a priority, and resources. And a lot of these overlapped, a lot of the barriers for not being able to expand the campaigns far and wide were common. Actually, the next table shows the map of those 29 countries that have campaigns within their own country in some form or format, either national or regional. So that's a map of the world with flags. Each flag represents a campaigning nation. So the next slide is, you should see a graph with years on the x-axis and the number of nations or sub-nations that started a campaign in a certain year. And you should see these are the WHO regions, the Western Pacific region, the Southeast Asian region, the Pan-American, the Euro region, and which is the European countries, and the EMRO, the Eastern Mediterranean region. So these are the regions that WHO divides country into, and all the 193 countries that WHO addresses falls into one of these regions. So this was just to get a sense of when did people start their campaigns within their countries. And there is a thin line that you should see running between 2004 and 2005. And really, a lot of them came up in 2007, 2008, and 2009. They started their campaign. And we believe that the first challenge may have had a slight role in this what you call graph, because you saw a lot of countries coming up because might be due to the pledging activity that the pledge that the ministers made might have what you call catalyzed the formation of a group and some activities, and then finally eventually a national hand hygiene campaign. So if you go to the next slide, which is the characteristics of the campaign with the title Characteristics of Campaigns, where the 29 countries were surveyed when they were asked questions about structure and processes, one of the things that came up was what we thought, which was the pledge did act as a catalyst. More than two-thirds of the campaign nations said yes, indeed, because of the pledge, we sort of, initiated a campaign. And so the other aspect that came out quite strongly, that was what we talked about earlier, which was the hand hygiene program was in some way part of a wider healthcare-associated infection control program. It did not stand alone by itself. We were also very encouraged to see that several of them reported, large majority reported, utilizing WHO guidelines in some form or format, 93%, and about 80% saying that they use the WHO tools. So that is what you call a measure of success of the pledging and work that's been done by this team. And that should be the next, what you call, next slide. It's a picture which was in August of 2009 after the first May 5th event, where once we had done the survey, we found out who were the leads of campaigns in those countries, and we invited them over to Geneva to share their experiences of how campaigns were rolled out, what were the challenges they had in their countries, and also to give them an opportunity to interact with each other and to learn from each other. So this was a network which was later established with formal terms of reference called the Clean Hands Net. So it's a network where, you know, each of these individuals is usually represents a country. Of course, there are more than 29 people here, but there's the WHO staff who was also involved in the hand hygiene program. And there are a lot of luminaries there who are sitting in there, including John Boyce, who worked with CDC and who's sort of known as the person who championed the cause of hand hygiene in the United States. And so this is a group that's growing. The point is this is a group that's growing, and we encourage learning and sharing so that, you know, a hand hygiene lead in one country can learn from another country about what has worked, what has not worked, what have been the barriers, how do we start if there are bottlenecks with government and ministry officials, how do we sort of address them, or resource constraints, what did they do? So they did present, and the idea is to have this ongoing. So the next meeting is going to be again in August again, and keep progressing basically on the Clean Hands Network. Next slide. There's been guidance based on the discussions that we had at the meeting last year. There's now clear guidance that WHO has put forth for anybody or any person or individual who's interested in starting a national campaign on how to get started, what is a national campaign, what's a subnational campaign, and how do you adapt it to your situations. And so this is some guidance that's already been put forward. Here's an opportunity for all of you, because we also want to encourage learning and sharing, because there's no point in reinventing the wheel at every healthcare facility, and knowledge should be shared. And so at the WHO website, on the Save Lives website, there's a section called Case Studies, where individual healthcare facilities can report on their experiences on utilizing the WHO tools or other tools, need not be WHO, and what have been their barriers, what have been their enablers, and how it worked in a certain situation, but it did not work in another situation. This is an opportunity for you to share among other healthcare facilities across the globe. So this is to welcome you to join in this community. This is an example of a healthcare facility that actually responded and has submitted its case study. Now, what do we plan moving ahead? Targeted activities for 2009. As of 2009, over 80 healthcare setting Share That activities for 5th May with WHO, and we hope this year too we will beat that number. We'll talk in a little while about 5th May and why that date is so important, but essentially it's an annual day of focus for hand hygiene. Just like you have the World AIDS Day, the TB Day, we felt that hand hygiene is equally, if not more important to focus on, because something that's so simple and is low-hanging fruit in the gamut of infection control practices, low-hanging fruit because it does not involve huge resources, huge costs, is more behavioral in nature, and so we would like to see more action in 2010. This is what we encourage our hospitals slash healthcare facilities to have activities, to plan activities on 5th May to celebrate the importance of hand hygiene. And this is just to give you a sample of what we've heard from a couple of facilities or one such facility here, where people will have exhibitions and develop, demonstrate the latest development in hand hygiene products, educational posters that could be put up. You could distribute brochures, or you could have a talk, organize a webinar, have a game, measure compliance, or whatever that you think resources within your settings might permit, considering that there are a lot of competing priorities. So we encourage you to have some activity on 5th May this year, 2010, which is going to be in a little over a month or a few weeks from now. Next slide. So basically, 5th May is a date when WHO wants to bring people together to improve and sustain hand hygiene and keep that. Without a 5th May, because again, it's the fifth day of the fifth month, and it is in sync with the WHO five moments, and so it's hard to forget that. So again, it's 5 moments and 5 steps of the WHO multimodal strategy. So please, it's the vehicle is to save lives, clean your hands, and we'll come to that in just a couple of minutes. Actually, right now. So the Save Lives, Clean Your Hands Global Annual Initiative is celebrated every 5th May. It's a call to action for healthcare workers and facilities and organizations throughout the world to actively campaign for improved hand hygiene. Again, at the point of care, to reduce healthcare-associated infections and to demonstrate their commitment to this priority. Sort of wanting to create a global movement for hand hygiene and to sustain it. So we urge you, we ask for your help here to commit to hand hygiene. And you can do that in a couple of ways. If you have not already registered your healthcare facility, you can go online and register the healthcare facility. Its registration is easy and it's simple, does not take a lot of time, and does not have any obligations other than the fact that you're endorsing the fact that hand hygiene is important. Yes, if you would use the tools that are there, we would be delighted, but it is not obligatory, but it's just a way of showing your commitment. So Canada has, as you saw from the map, a lot of healthcare facilities that have signed on, but in case your organization has not already signed on, I would urge you and on behalf of the first challenge and Professor Pite to sign on, because our goal is to reach 10,000 this year. We had reached 5,000 last year, and so we've been very ambitious, like the first challenge that has already been. And so we would like your support in reaching that number, the magic number. Share any activities if you are planning any activities on 5th May and write to us about that on our website. And again, as I mentioned, use any tools and provide feedback to us about how you find those tools. The tools we mentioned about are all up there on the website. And you can use that, including the new self-assessment framework that's going to be just launched. One of the things that we were thinking is, it's hard. You can report data on just one moment for the first year, and that's also something that's in the offing that will come to you shortly. So moving on, what's next? You know, we feel that the puzzle is still being solved. There are solutions that exist to tackle healthcare-associated infections. One of the most simple ones, or more simpler ones, is hand hygiene, and we are encouraging you to come on board. The next graphic actually says that all this is not in vain. You'll be saving lives, and the impact, though, might not be very obvious due to the nature of healthcare-associated infections. The country campaigns, the facility actions, and healthcare worker provider actions are all leading to safety, making care safer. Hand hygiene is a vehicle in infection control to save lives. The last one is a graphic, and we wish we could have a Nobel Prize, and your hospital would be one of those that would win this prize for hand washing. Unfortunately, we don't dream about this because it's so common, but really it needs to be the status for hand washing or hand hygiene needs to be elevated to a point that we feel that, you know, it would be worthy for hand hygiene to be on one of those criteria to be awarded to facilities that did a marvelous job. So that's the way we would like success to look like from the first challenge perspective. So page 29, or slide 29, provides all the information on how to register your facilities if you're not registered. That's the website, the URL. Also, I would like to take this opportunity to tell you that there are three webinars. It's a series of webinars that you could register for well in advance. All of them are on the 3rd, 5th, and the 7th of May. If you find out about an exciting hand hygiene campaign in your country, support it in your own way, in whatever little way you can, within your institution, within your clinic, and talk to us about it. And I would like to thank you for your ongoing support. The email is also listed below, savelives@who.int. If you should like to talk to us or share with us about what you're planning, about your plans, we would be delighted to mention that and put it on our website, as we have in many instances. So don't hesitate. The next slide is about to be able to register and information about the webinars that I just spoke about a minute ago. And I think with that, I'd just like to say thank you, and we really look forward to your support.
Thank you very much, Cyrus. It's a tremendous presentation. It's not always easy to give a presentation to somebody else's slides at the last minute like that, but obviously you knew this material exceptionally well. I thank you. It's a tremendous presentation. So thank you again for your participation today. Thanks as well to Deb Limited for their support of the Teleclass Education Program. And Cyrus, again, I can't express my appreciation enough for the effort that you put into this and getting it done. I know we took you away from some other important things, so I sure appreciate you being willing and able to do this.
Anytime, Paul. You're welcome.
Well, I'll take you up on that.
Okay.
So to all, thank you very much, and we'll talk again very soon.